Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Zee Entertainment Enterprises Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Pratap Singh, Head of Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Q2 FY23 earnings discussion. We have with us today our Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Punit Goenka, along with senior management team. We'll start with opening remarks from Mr. Goenka, followed by commentary on operating and financial performance by Mr. Rohit Gupta, our Chief Financial Officer. We'll subsequently take some of your questions during the Q&A session. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone that some of the statements made or discussed on today's call will be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with risks and uncertainties we face. The company does not undertake to update any of these forward-looking statements publicly. With that, I'll now hand the call over to Mr. Goenka for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Mahesh. Good evening, everyone. I hope all of you are keeping well. Thank you for taking the time out this evening to interact with me and my team members on Zee's performance in the second quarter of the financial year 2022-2023. As you would have noted, the underlying impact of the macroeconomic headwinds across the industry continued to spill over in the second quarter of the fiscal. That said, we have been able to moderately grow our advertising revenues sequentially in the second quarter on the back of our network share gain and focused effort from our ad sales team. We remain hopeful of a steady recovery in the advertising environment during the second half of the fiscal, given some of the green shoots due to a good monsoon and the onset of the festive season. We are utilizing this period to further strengthen the resilience and fundamentals of our business across all aspects. Our focused efforts and investments in content and user experience enhancements are displaying positive results. I would also like to quickly apprise you on the progress of the proposed merger with Sony, now called Culver Max Entertainment Private Limited. We have recently received an approval from the Competition Commission of India with their communication dated 4th October 2022 and its subsequent order. The company also conducted a meeting of its equity shareholders on 14th October 2022 to seek approval on the composite scheme of arrangements in line with the order of the National Company Law Tribunal. We have received an overwhelming support for the proposed merger with 99.99% of the equity shareholders who participated in the process voting in favor of the scheme. We are steadily moving forward with other legal and regulatory approvals required for completion of the merger as per law. Coming back to the company's performance during the second quarter, in addition to strengthening our current offerings, we are also consistently identifying newer growth opportunities for sustained value creation. We took yet another firm step in this direction by sharpening our strategic vision to build the sports business for the company. The strategic licensing agreement inked with Disney Star makes Zee the exclusive TV destination for all ICC events starting 2024. Going forward, all our investment decisions to make the sports segment a compelling value proposition for the company will continue to be taken with a prudent approach. Our energies remain focused on enhancing the performance across platforms through compelling content offerings and delivering a robust user experience. For instance, our linear viewership share has increased quarter-on-quarter, and our key markets like Hindi and Tamil are showcasing an improvement in their performance. On the digital front, ZEE5 continues to post healthy growth across all usage and engagement metrics, reflecting the successes of our focused investment towards enhancing the proposition of the platform. Going forward, we remain cautiously optimistic about the overall advertising sentiment gradually recovering due to the second half of the fiscal, which will further aid revenue growth. On that note, I will hand over the session to our CFO, Rohit Gupta, to take you through the finer details. I look forward to interacting with you during the Q&A. Thank you. Over to you, Rohit.
Thank you, Puneet. Welcome, everyone. I hope you had the opportunity to review our quarter two results, which have been uploaded on ours as well as website of stock exchanges. I'll focus my remarks on providing more context to our quarter two financial performance and our outlook for H2. Given the weak macroeconomic environment and its implications on our operating context, we are pleased with our Q2 FY23 performance, which shows sequential improvement from previous quarter and underscores our team's ability to adapt and execute through challenging times. It is also important to note that we have continued to make room for investments in strategic areas through this phase and are confident of emerging as a much stronger business, with marked improvement in underlying health and competitive advantage in our key businesses. Let me briefly talk about these lead indicators, fueling our enthusiasm with respect to our business trajectory. Firstly, on linear business, we have gained 30 BPS network viewership share in quarter 2 FY23 and continue to be India's strong number 2 TV entertainment network. In our assessment, our quarter-on-quarter viewership gain during quarter 2 FY23 is ahead of every other TV network in the country, reflecting results of our focused effort to gain network share. Specifically talking about three key channels which we are going through a lean patch, in ZTV, we have now seen consistent performance in viewership share over the last few quarters. ZTamil has turned the corner in quarter two of FY23 with share gain, and we expect to maintain that momentum, while Zee Marathi is still in the process of rebuilding with series of launches and interventions planned throughout FY23 in order to stabilize and regain our network share. On digital side, Z5 is continuing to gain healthy traction in usage, stickiness and engagement metrics. Our quarter 2 FY23 DAUs are highest ever. Original content is being well received, and Z5 app user experience has been significantly improved, with Z5 becoming highest rated OTT app on both iOS and Android. Z5 iOS app ratings have gone up from 3.9 in early April to 4.8 levels now. Android app rating has gone up from 3.7 to 4.6 for the same period. All of these are strong affirmation of our investment in content, technology, and marketing. Z5 has clocked a revenue growth of 28% year-on-year during quarter 2 FY23, reflecting healthy traction and adoption. Now, specifically coming to the financial performance, total revenues for quarter 2 FY23 are up 10% quarter-on-quarter and 2.5% year-on-year, aided by growth in ad revenues, subscription revenues and other sales and services. Our ad revenues for the quarter grew at a healthy rate of 4% Q&Q, but are lower by 7% year-on-year. On year-on-year ad revenues, in addition to the macroeconomic factors, previous year Q2 had higher base due to strong spending coming out of COVID and Zee Anmol FTA ad revenue, which we withdrew from 1st April 2022. While macroeconomic environment in quarter two remained challenging, our quarter-on-quarter growth was a result of network share gain and focused effort from our ad sales team on garnering higher shares from active spending categories, solution-led deals, and other levers such as right client mix to minimize the impact through this phase. We are cautiously optimistic for ad spending to revive in the second half of the year as demand picks up with onset of festive season. Subscription revenues for the quarter grew by 7% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. Q2 FY23 subscription revenues were aided by catch-up revenue from previous quarter in linear business and underlying organic growth in music and ZEE5. From TV subscription revenue outlook perspective, in September 2022, TRAI has again extended the deadline for implementation of NTO 2.0 to 28 February 2023. In the absence of a clear way ahead of NTO 2.0, near-term outlook for subscription growth remains uncertain and muted. We will continue to monitor NTO 2.0 guidelines and will be prepared to implement the same for improved longer-term revenue outcome. There is also a temporary issue with collection recognition of our subscription revenues from Citi pending a legal proceeding. Zee Music Company saw 65% year-on-year growth in video views, highlighting strength of ZMC Music catalog and library. YouTube subscriber base of ZMC increased to 89 million from 78 million in last 12 months. ZMC continues to be number two music channel and has very young and new age catalog with very high consumption. This quarter, we have also reassessed the useful life of music content, looking at our own revenue profile and catalog usage, as well as benchmarking the useful life with global and domestic peers. Our current definition of useful life of music, which until now was 3 years as per management assessment, based on the outcome of reassessment and benchmarking process, we have now revised the useful life of the music content to 10 years. The total impact of the change of useful life of music asset was positive rupees 32 crores on EBITDA. On a recurring basis, impact is not going to be that material as our music inventory and fresh music acquisition is relatively small compared to the overall inventory and investment. This reassessment aligns on how music is currently being monetized on a much longer life with more predictable annuity revenue streams. Coming to the movies business, during the quarter, Zee Studios released 10 movies, 4 Hindi and 6 regional. Aided by these theatrical releases and other syndication deals, Q2 FY23 other sales and services were up 92% year-on-year. While there has been a good pickup in revenues from theatrical and movies, content performance of movies generally has been softer than expected, and this has caused a drag on margins. During the quarter, we have seen inventory increase quarter-on-quarter, mainly due to movies acquired for linear and digital business. Our content inventory and advances stood at 78.9 billion in quarter 2 FY23, and a majority of this pertains to movies. In H2, we have a strong pipeline of movies under different stages of production. Switching gears on cost and profitability, during quarter 2 FY23, our EBITDA margins came in at 14.7% quarter-on-quarter, improving by 110 BPS, but still lower by 610 BPS year-on-year. We continue to be focused on optimizing costs across the businesses and are hopeful that when macroeconomic environment and ad spends improves, our margins will recover from these levels. Z5 EBITDA losses for the quarter stand at rupees 2769 million. Losses were high year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter as we continue to invest in strengthening our Z5 value proposition in line with our investment strategy. Also, quickly touching upon receivables from Dish and Citi. As you will recall, we had agreed a payment plan with Dish and we have continued to collect as per that schedule, receiving current collection along with receiving a part of the old outstanding. This outstanding has substantially reduced from rupees 5.8 billion as on March 20 to rupees 1.5 billion in September 22. On Citi, as we had mentioned earlier, we have been recognizing revenues to the extent of collection on a conservative basis. On account of a pending legal proceeding, amounts aggregating to rupees 525 million are yet to be collected and accounted for. PAT for the quarter came in at 1128 million. The cash and treasury investments of the company as of September 22 stood at rupees 9.0 billion. The cash and treasury investments include cash and bank balance of 3.1 billion, fixed deposit of 5.7 billion, and NCDs worth $255 million. To sum up, quarter two has shown some sequential improvement in challenging backdrop, which is encouraging. However, we still have a lot of ground to cover and expect our financial performance to gradually improve in H2. Growth revival is our key focus, and Q3 will see recovery from Q2 levels given the festive seasonality. However, key factor we are watching is how sustained and strong that underlying macro recovery is beyond just festive seasonality. We will provide you more color when we speak during Q3 earnings. Back to you, Mahesh.
Thank you, Rohit. We'll now proceed for the Q&A session. I'd request the moderator to take the discussion forward.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any further questions, we request you to join the queue back. We'll take the first question from the line of Vivekanand S. from Ambit Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My two questions on the merger. So one is, if you can provide an update on the timelines of merger completion. Related point is with respect to the number of days that your share will remain listed. Yeah, that's point one. Second.
Sorry to interrupt.
Engaged with
Vivekanand, your voice is breaking up in between, so the audio is not very clear.
Vivek, if you can just confirm.
I'm using the headset now. Is it better?
Yes, it's better, Vivek. Can you just confirm your second question? Was it number of days for? Just repeat that bit.
So once the merger approvals are in place, how many days will the share be delisted? Do you have clarity on that? And the related question in this context is, have you engaged with your institutional shareholders who have to report, they report their mark to market on a daily basis? So what's the status from their compliance teams to understand whether they will be able to hold on to the shares comfortably, and how does it work for their reporting perspective? Thank you.
Yeah, Vivek. So for the timelines of the merger completion, we are working with a target that it should be completed within this financial year. And as you would know, this is something that we are grappling with on a daily basis, because this regulatory approval is required. We can't give you one final date. Number of days for delisting or company remaining delisted, our expectation is it will be about 5 to 6 weeks. And engagement with the institutional shareholders, Mahesh?
At this stage, Vivek, we haven't had specific concerns or feedback on the timeline. Of course, as things progresses, we will continue to remain engaged and, will continue to articulate this. But at this stage, there's not anything which we've gathered which is overly significant to talk about.
Okay, thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My question is on Z5. So one part is on the significant improvement in rating in both Android and iOS. What does this translate in terms of impact on, say, revenue or, say, subscriber base, or it's good to see that number, but isn't content the most important thing? Second bit is, last year the run rate, quarterly loss run rate was more like 190 to 200 crore. Now this quarter is around 276. So is this the number we should build for the balance two quarters also in terms of loss?
Yeah. Okay, so the improvement in ratings, what it does is that it gives you immediate downloadability of the app. when a consumer comes and sees a rating of below 4, the likelihood of him downloading the app is low. And therefore, that is the first hurdle that you can cross. Of course, after that, content is the most important thing for the consumer to convert from just from the download to actually becoming a subscriber. But ratings on the app store is very, very important and crucial. Yeah, and on the run rate of the this thing for the current year, yes, that's I think what you should factor in. But obviously, post this next year, we expect it to plateau and then come down.
Also, Amish, just this is Mahesh here, just to add on the content rating as well, when you look at, and I think both Rohit and PG alluded to it, a lot of our recent shows, content performance has also been very healthy. When you look at on Z5, something like Saas Bahu Rachar, or something like Rang Baaz or Tripling. So there is equally recognition and validation of content as well when you look at the ratings on third-party rating websites as well.
Sure, thanks. My second question is on the viewership ratings. Good to see finally it's turning around and 30 bits is a reasonable start. But still versus pre-COVID, there's still a lot of gap available. So wanted to understand on the Tamil and Hindi, now are you fairly confident or are these very initial days, so we need to wait a bit more? And you also mentioned on Marathi, it is still WIP. So if you could tell us what has done well in Tamil and Hindi, is that possible to replicate in Marathi to reverse there also?
So both in Tamil and Hindi, it is basically implementation and picking the right shows that have worked for it. In Hindi, particularly, both the fiction and non-fiction have done well for us. Tamil is still largely fiction-driven, and we are pretty confident that these will now continue to grow from here. They are stabilized at this level, and now we should see more growth coming. In Marathi, as I had mentioned in my earlier calls also, Abhinish, it was an implementation issue and a team issue. A new team has been put in place about a quarter back. They are working on the plans for getting the turnaround happen in Marathi also. I am quite hopeful that in the next couple of quarters, we'll see something turn around there.
So, Pujit, one follow-up was on the NTO2 in your opening remark. So, that has kept on getting delayed. So, what was the reason for delay this time? Industry is quite capable of putting forth his viewpoints being the fourth estate. So, why we are not seeing any success, any resolution here either way? So when can we see this getting normalized? Because then only you can start thinking of normalcy and growth in this part of the business.
The NTO reasons for delay, you know, I don't know what TRAI was planning to do. But as I understand it from informal sources, that they were trying to build consensus amongst all the stakeholders. And as you understand, consensus in this industry between broadcasters, cable operators or DPOs, is not easy to build. I think that is largely the reason for delay. My view is that they have finished with all the discussions and everything, so we should see the NTO guidelines come out anytime now. And as Mahesh mentioned, that 28th February is the deadline they have kept. I'm quite confident that they will not miss this deadline.
Okay, Puneet. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the ICC events rights. Can you talk about the amount you will be paying and the returns that you expect and which channels the content will be broadcasted on? Also, the cash which the MergeCo will have, what's the plan to deploy that?
Yeah. So ICC, the amount is confidential. We are not in a position to declare it right now. But as and when we have the clearance from ICC, we will share that with you. If the merger happens, Kunal, then you know that we will have a formidable sports network in the MergeCo. And there's no reason why we would not use that as the platform. In the unlikely event that the merger does not take place, we will have to launch more channels.
Okay. And my second question is on inventory. We've seen a further increase in the first half. It's gone like beyond 7,000 crore. Where does it, at what level does it stabilize? When do you expect it to start moderating? And also, in terms of accounting policies on inventory, have you engaged with SUNY and are there any differences in the inventory accounting? Is there a like possibility that you might have to write it down at some stage? That's it from me.
I'll let Rohit answer the first part. I'll take the second.
Yeah. So, see, the inventory increase, like I said in my opening remarks, primarily is on account of, you know, the movies that have been added during the quarter. So a number of movies have been added, and the monetization is going to take place now. To your question, whether the levels will remain, I think for at least couple of quarters, yes, we will keep, we'll have to invest into, you know, digital content. But, you know, like I said earlier also, we want to actually, you know, have the inventory additions only to the extent that we amortize, you know, so that the inventory actually stabilizes at a certain point. Regarding the policy with Sony, maybe...
So on the accounting policy with Sony, I can confirm that there are differences, and the differences are largely on the movie side. KPMG, that is doing the entire work for Sony MZ, is engaged on that exercise as we speak. Closer to the merger getting completed, we will come back to you as to what is the quantum of that value.
Okay. Thanks. Just one last question, if I can. On Z5, your costs have increased almost 50% year-on-year. What has been the main area of investment, and how should we look at the cost increase going forward?
There are only three areas of major increases in Z5, Kunal. This is basically technology, content, and marketing.
Yeah, but what kind of increase should we expect going forward? Because while the revenue is increasing, the cost is increasing at even higher pace. So when do we start to see cost stabilize and revenue like continue to move up, driving improvement in performance?
As I stated earlier to on my earlier question that I answered, that for next couple of quarters the loss level will be where it is at quarter two. After that it will plateau for some time and then you'll start to see it falling.
Okay. Thanks, Puneet. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and good evening to everyone. First on the ad revenue, just wanted to understand now that this time the festive season was early and we had a positive rating improvement as well. I understand the headwind from not having the FTA channel, but I thought that the tailwinds from these two were much even stronger, and despite that there was a decline on a YOY basis. You still think that the sentiments are weak enough, and how should we see then for the H2? Because I think some part of the festive season already started in the Q2 itself. Yeah, that's my first one.
No, you're right, Sajesh. The sentiments were still weak in Q2. And this is largely driven on the back of the CPG or the FMCG companies, you know, taking a hit on their volumes because of the pricing of the input costs. So therefore, it was weak in the Q2 itself. Yes, you're right. The Q3 started off very well with the whole month being good, but there are headwinds again that we are seeing in the month of November, etc.
In this overall scheme of things, do you think we will have a flattish this year in terms of advertisement revenue?
I think we'll see some marginal growth, Sandesh, in this year.
Great, sir. Second, on the capital allocation towards movie, till now, at least Hindi movies are not performing very well. And we also mentioned in our initial remark that movie are dragging a bit on the margin. Are we rethinking on our capital allocation towards movie? What's thought process there?
We are rethinking or re-studying our movie portfolio strategy and maybe reject the capital allocation within that. So instead of spending a lot more on, let's say, Hindi, for example, do we want to spend a little bit more on the regional languages, which are doing much better than the Hindi side? But will we completely look at reducing capital allocation to movies? No, that's not in the thought process.
Got it. One related day, correlating it with the inventory, I thought we were investing a lot more in the movies, so we have to buy lesser movies from the market. But our movie inventory within the inventory continues to rise. So how should we see this? The movies which we are making and it buying so much of movies from the market, it's more to feed the digital or it is to fuel the rating. So what's driving that kind of investment in the inventory as well?
It's predominantly digital, Sandesh. If you look at the last quarter on the ZEE5 platform, we released almost 60 films across languages. So that is the animal that you have to feed, and that's what is driving the movie inventory.
Great, great. So A&P spend rise this quarter sequentially also is because of the movie launches we have done, or what's driving that cost line item so far?
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. It is the movies that is driving that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's it from my side, and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Actually, most of the questions have been answered. Just couple of more. So one on ZEE5, I think we have taken a price hike last quarter, if I'm not wrong. So, I mean, how much of the growth can be attributed to just the price increase, and how much of it is actually, you know, user growth? That is question number one. And second, on music, I mean, I think in the opening remarks, Rohit, you mentioned that 32 crore is the impact on EBITDA. So just wanted to understand a bit more, is it a change in amortization? Because, that is the case, then probably incrementally also we will have some impact. And if we take that out, looks like on a QOQ basis also, the margin is flat. So how should we look at the margin going forward for the second half? And probably if you can give a direction of, you know, when can we go back to normalized levels going forward?
So the ZEE5 price hike, the attribution of growth to that is minuscule, Abhishek, because we account for the revenue on a realized basis, not on, you know, receipt basis. So even if you take a 100 rupee price hike, that will be attributable very limited on a one-month basis. So therefore, the growth on the ZEE5 subscription is pretty much coming on the back of new subscribers. I'll take the last one, but then music, I'll tell Rohit to answer. So on the margins, I think this year we should not expect any normalization of margins like we used to have at 25, you know, 24%-25% levels. This year will be subdued in terms of margins, because unlike last year, where when the margins came under pressure, we significantly cut costs, and that has further impacted, you know, revival of our channels, market share. So this year, we have consciously taken a decision not to cut the cost down to the bone, and leave some meat on, so that we have a healthy entry into the next year when the things are more normal. Rohit, music.
So Abhishek, on the music, like I mentioned in my opening remarks, we were actually estimating and amortizing the music inventory in 3 years. And, like how we reassess all our investments, you know, periodically, we have also reassessed music. We have benchmarked with various, you know, Indian companies and global companies. And, you know, we've seen that most of them are actually the amortization happens between 10-25 years. And therefore, you know, we have changes from 3 years to 10 years. The impact of that one-time impact in this quarter is 32 crores. There will be some impact, but it will not be, of course, it will not be that substantial in the coming quarters.
Sure, thanks. One last, if I may, what is this exceptional item in the P&L?
Yeah, so I'll take that one. See, the exceptional item has two components to it. So, you know, the one is the continuing provisions that we make for, you know, the Dasra guarantee that has been given for Citi. You know, whatever the amount becomes due every quarter, we continue to provide for it and then disclose it every quarter in our quarterly accounts. So 16 crores is that. And then secondly, to, you know, obviously give the right, you know, disclosure, we, whatever merger related expenses are there, that also we account for separately and show it as exceptional items.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question on the FTA withdrawal side. I think this was the second quarter post FTA withdrawal. So can you highlight where are we in terms of revenue recoupment, especially on the subscription side? Also, given that this was an FTA channel, pricing would have been lower as content would not be as fresh. So does this type of content find any acceptance on the PT side? I just thought of asking this because ad revenue loss from FTA is also one of the reasons as to why our overall EBITDA margins have been slightly lower over the last 2 quarters. Yeah, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Jinesh, so the FTA channels that we were running, they were running reruns of our pay channels. And because the FTA universe doesn't get the pay channels, for them it was like fresh content. The moment we just put this content on the pay ecosystem, the audience has already seen it or it's dated. It's dated by almost a year. So therefore, it's not finding any traction there. And therefore, I don't think that would have had any impact on the on that side. You're right that a large part of the FTA revenue, you know, flows directly down to the bottom line and has an impact on our EBITDA.
So in case if we are not able to find a recoupment on the subscription side, what could have been the reason of withdrawing it from the FTA circuit as such?
Jinesh, if you plot the subscription subscriber numbers for the DTH industry over the last 2 years, you will see the rapid fall that they have witnessed. It has gone from 58 point some million subscribers down to 53 odd million subscribers. This was the sole reason for us to withdraw because we were seeing a lot of the DD subscribers migrate to DD Finish.
Oh. Okay. And I just need one small clarification. I think this was explained previously as well. This is with respect to this 32 crores of EBITDA bump up, which we have seen in this quarter due to change in the accounting policy from 3 years to 10 years. But if you can just highlight the reason behind it, because earlier if it was 3 years, the revenue and cost apportionment happened over that time frame, and now it will happen over a 10-year time frame. So how does this actually lead to a bump in EBITDA?
Yeah, so I just actually responded to this query, you know, before our question, but let me repeat it, Dinesh. So, for the, like I said, for the music, you know, investments and the songs, you know, that we acquire, we were actually amortizing them over 3 years. And when we have benchmarked this with all other players, and also, you know, seeing the revenue profile and how the, you know, the revenue accrues, we realize that, you know, 3 years is actually not the right time frame. And therefore, we have now changed it to 10 years. So there is a, because there is an opening inventory, so there is a one-time impact that we have of 32 crores in this quarter. and that's why you know this has been disclosed. Going forward, you know, the impact, because we do not add that much music inventory as compared to our other movies and so on, the impact will be much lower.
Dinesh, there's also the fact that because we were new entrants into the music business, we did not know what the global practices were. And this was then discussed with our auditors. They did an extensive exercise and told us that the natural amortization for music is between 10 to 25 years. So we have taken the lower of what the global standard is.
So basically, to sum it up, inventory adjustment has led to this EBITDA bump, right?
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Chandrasekhar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Couple of quick questions. So on the subscription side, after we withdrew from FTA, have we seen a reduction in churn, as in terms of users moving from pay TV to FTA? Not necessarily for Zee, but for the industry as a whole, since all broadcasters have kind of pulled out of FTA. And a related question, so we have a 7% QOQ increase in subscription revenue. So is that mostly coming from digital, or has linear side also grown a little bit?
No, the significant or maximum part of it is coming from digital. Linear is not showing any growth. What we have seen on the first question on the reduction in churn, absolutely the churn has been reduced. The subscriber base is now stable at the 53 plus mark. In fact, in September, if I remember, I saw 53.8. So it's a healthy sign. We were hoping it will increase, but that is not translated yet. If the industry is going to wait and watch before we take a decision what way we want to go.
Got it. And sorry, one more question. I dropped off for a few minutes, so I missed it. How many days will the stock be delisted for in the merger process?
5 to 6 weeks.
5 to 6 weeks.
That's the SEBI norm. I'm just quoting what is in their policy.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on synergy benefits. So I'm sure you have touched upon this many times quantitatively. But qualitatively, what is the pulse you're getting from, say, your distribution partners or advertisement agencies and advertisers? Can you give some update on that qualitatively? And which are those areas you will be prioritizing over?
Yeah, Arun, it will be largely revenue-driven, and we are expecting about 6-odd% synergy benefits of Z revenues, Z alone revenues. And if you would look at it on a combined basis, it will be between 3-4% of the combined merge goals revenues. The area is obviously the most lucrative area is the advertising pie. And based on how the new NTO shapes up and how we bring the two bouquets together, will determine whether even in a subscription we can see a bump up. But right now we've not factored that in. This is largely driven from the international markets, on the digital business and the advertising.
And on advertising, it is more on the yield side or the inventory filling, how we should look at it? Because yield,
combination of both.
Yeah, because combination of both. Understood. My second question is on the movie production in the in line with the previous participant's question. I'm sure that it's a contentious decision because it's always a build versus acquire. But unlike other markets in India, we have we don't have that much dependence on the Hollywood, and we have no dearth of companies which are producing movie in this country. So, wouldn't it make sense more sense to buy rights post the theatrical release so that we only pay for the content that is liked by audience at large? And how we should look at it, quality versus quantity balance. Isn't it more towards quality, and how it has impacted so far your acquisitions and user acquisition at C55?
Well, unfortunately, the industry doesn't work that way because these movies get sold even during production. And if we were to wait for the film to be released in theater and then take the chance of buying the film, there is a risk to that as well. So therefore, the industry is behaving in the manner that it does. Therefore, we have to participate and play the game as per the industry. And our view is that we would also like to continue to build and buy as little as possible. At times, that's not possible, but we are working on that strategy.
Okay. So what will change this scenario? What will change? What will make you to revisit this movie production business? Because a lot of capital seems to be getting locked in this business, and it is also diluted in terms of margin.
Well, that is being, it will be diluted to margin, we knew always. That is not the factor which will make us decide whether to be in this business or not. I think what we will decide is what kind of films do we want to participate in, and what kind of language, and what is our capital allocation to languages based on how the box office is performing market by market. So that is what will help us in realigning or rethinking our portfolio approach.
Okay. Thanks. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So can you just let us know the contribution of three channels that we will let go of in terms of their viewership share and contribution to ad revenue?
Sorry, Himanshu, we have lost your connection. We request you to please enter star one again. Yes, please go ahead, Himanshu.
Yeah, thank you. So can you just let us know the contribution of three channels that we will let go of as part of merger, their contribution to our current viewership share and ad revenue
The ad revenue part I cannot share. It is a bit confidential in nature. As you understand that we have to still go and divest these channels. The viewership share is about 1%, all India level.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fine, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Pratap Singh for closing comments.
Thanks, Tanvi. Thank you, everyone, for your interest, and thanks for joining us today. We hope all your questions were answered. Should you have any further clarification or questions, feel free to reach out to us. Thanks again, and look forward to speaking with you post our Q3 earnings.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Zee Entertainment Enterprises Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.